Oh, happy Sabbath, everybody. So, in August this year, I hit double digits. Not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, every now and then I reflect on my age and who I am and what makes me up and how I deal with things, why I deal with things, and things like that. And I got a little bit of a wake-up call the other day from the standpoint at just about 55, or excuse me, I said double digits, right? I meant double nickels. I'll be turning 55 in August. So at going on 55, I feel like there should be some maturity here that no matter what the situation is, I should be able to respond to it in a way that's somewhat mature. And, last weekend, Lori and I went down to Indiana. I had a nice weekend, stayed with friends, and I got to go golfing Sunday morning. I wasn't expecting that. That was a very pleasant surprise. But had a nice time with them. Lori and I got back Sunday evening, or late afternoon, I think it was, and I had some things I wanted to do, and one of the things had to do with my bees that Jake's been helping me with. And so I make a comment to Lori and also to Clay. Clay hadn't been down and seen the bees since we installed them, and he was home. And so I'm going down there. If you guys want to go, yep, we want to go. Well, I kind of get down there right ahead of Lori, and there's a box to one of the hives that was not being used that I had leaning up against the shed. And now it is upside down. It has a bottom to it, but because it's upside down, now it has a top. So it's four sides and a top. Is what's facing up, and it's on the cement, and it's right in the middle where we do things. So it's like, why is this here? I didn't put it here. So I asked Lori, I said, you put this there? She said, I didn't put it there. Clay's not down yet, but he's coming any moment, and I'm thinking, Clay wouldn't have done this either. Why in the world is this box is here? And so I'm going to pick it up and put it back where it was. I got shorts on, and I got sandals on. And, just like Ann right now, she's got sandals on, and if I come over and did this, she'd pull back because, we're kind of protective of our toes. My toe is right up against the side of this box, and I lean over like this to pick it up. And as I get it a few inches off the ground, my eyeball sees something that I haven't seen up close before. There's a mama possum and six or seven babies on her back underneath this box. I didn't hear anything from her. I couldn't hear anything from anybody because the scream that came out of my mouth was the most girlish, the most high-pitched, and the longest one I have ever heard, I think, in my life. And it came out of my mouth. I didn't swear. There's some maturity in me. But my reaction, and I dropped it instantly, I think. Now, Lori, in all fairness, Lori screamed also. However, I'm thinking that she screamed because I screamed. Because she was about 10 feet, well, probably not, she was about 5-6 feet away, but my feet would have been blocking some of her view, and the length of view was very short-lived. And so I think just me jumping back and screaming scared her half to death also. And then she immediately starts laughing, because she has never seen me respond like that before. And almost instantly, I'm having the thoughts like, wow. I have been scared, caught off guard before, but I have never had that. My vocal reaction, it was a huge scream. And it was like, huh, I didn't know that was in me. I had no clue that I could be that scared to emit a sound like that before. Oh boy, Lori wants to make a comment. I'm not going to give you a mic in case, that way we can kind of edit it. Go ahead.
In all fairness, he did ask, why didn't you have your phone out? Yeah, because
yeah, it would have been fun. Yeah, she's saying that shortly after I kind of recomposed why I said, you know, you didn't have your phone out? You didn't record that? Because that would have been blackmail. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the possum. I had no clue what to do then with it. But she's safely under a box. And I got thinking about it. It's like, huh, we haven't been down here for several days. And the box, again, was kind of leaned up against the wall with what would be the cover portion against the wall. And right above the box was an opening into what used to be a coop. And I know what she was doing. She wanted to get into that opening. So she stepped on the inner part of the box, and it just flipped over right on top of her. And she trapped herself. And so, yeah, then Lori's even asked, what are you going to do with them? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I have devices that throw lead. That was my first thought. But it's like, I don't want to mess right here. And because there's no bottom to this box, she's on the cement and with a lid over top of her. It's like, I can't pick her up and just carry her somewhere. So I decided to let her stay there overnight again, and because she probably was under there a couple of nights at least. And so the next morning I went out and I just opened the box away from me, and it took her probably about a good 30 seconds to realize, oh, you mean I can really leave now? She just wandered off. And I'm hoping that she was so traumatized by being under that box in that location that she'll never come back to that location again. That's the way it works, right? Tell me yes. Tell me yes. Okay. So maturity is what we're going to talk about today. It's not something that just comes about in one day, is it? It's a culmination of effort over time. It requires growth. And Paul lays out a goal for the church in Colossians. Let's go there. Colossians 1, in verse 28, he says, it is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ Yeshua. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. That's a pretty lofty goal for the church, because the way he states it right there, it's not simply his goal, but he wants to teach everyone so that we may present everyone mature. So are we growing spiritually? Or are we on a plateau? Are we encouraging others to grow spiritually? Or do we just kind of hope that they'll figure it out on their own? So that all of us will become mature in Christ. There's some churches out there that don't have this as their primary goal. The goal of spiritual maturity. Some churches, they choose to place an emphasis on money at times, on power, filling of the seats, entertainment, rather than teaching spiritual maturity. And we have to keep in mind that when it comes to our immaturity, it doesn't matter who we may want to blame. The reality is, the immature, they may want to call themselves a Christian, but they weren't a serious Christian. They're not a serious Christian. if they're wanting to remain in their immaturity. And, or, they did not attend a serious church. So we got a lot to think about here today. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. In Hebrews 5, Hebrews 5 and verse 11 says, "About this we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become dull in understanding. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil, discernment. The sign of spiritual maturity is discernment. The ability to distinguish good from evil." You know, we're told to actually pray for discernment. Just like we're told to pray for wisdom. Discernment is a piece of wisdom, in a sense. Discernment allows us to enter a new space and in very short order realize what kind of spirits are in that space. The immature can't discern that. Because there's times when we enter a space, I'm not always talking about four walls. That remote can enter you into a space. We need discernment. We need the ability to look through things through spiritual eyes, God's spiritual eyes. All the while trying to maintain God's will. Simply reading the Bible or attending church is just taking in of the milk. But putting what the Bible teaches and through God's Holy Spirit into practice daily, that's the meat. Solid food is for those who have trained their senses to discern good from evil and want to live it out. So when we're faced with a challenge, do we enter into it with human instincts or with spiritual knowledge, wisdom, God's will? How do we go about that situation, the next situation? Are we going to allow feelings, opinions to dictate our next move? Or will it be wisdom and knowledge? Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, has some of the same wording we just read. This letter was to the church in Corinth. It's about 30 years after Christ's death and resurrection. 30 years. It's enough time that Paul shows some frustration with the brethren there about their lack of spiritual maturity. So in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 1, he says, "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations?" Because just before this, he was admonishing on them on the fact that they were claiming, well, some of them were claiming, Well, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Again, they're chasing after men, not God's knowledge. So he brings up their jealousy. It's pride. I want something. I think I should have something. It's a sign of immaturity. You know, when we look at a toddler, it's 2 or 3, 4 years old. It doesn't matter how many awesome toys they have right in front of them. What do they want? The one toy that the other child has 3 feet away. And they won't give up for anything, will they? He also brings up unity. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Unity is a sign of spiritual maturity. We're able to get along. But he also brings up that this problem with the flesh, according to or leading to human inclinations, means the immature are vulnerable to error. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Says, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Who's to speak the truth in love? All of us. We're all supposed to be matured enough that we can speak the truth. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Plain and simply, we're commanded to assemble. One of the reasons that we're commanded to assemble is that the mature has the ability to mentor the immature, the younger in faith. Another, we can't grow unless we're challenged by other believers. If we isolate ourselves in a safe space, we only think that we have overcome something. And while isolated, this is a big one here, we're useless servants to God. If we choose to harbor ourselves in our safe comfort zone, how can we be useful to God? During the onset of the hardest times is when we must be able to first go to God. That has to be our first thought. My dad, when I was probably in my mid-teens, he was a salesman, and he told the story driving home one day. He was on the highway. It was snowing. The highway got slushy enough now there was literally just tracks in each lane. And he said he veered out of the tracks just enough that it caught his tire and he started spinning. And there's cars behind him. Well, he made it home and the car was okay. So I said, well, what'd you do? Or what happened? He says, I literally just cried out to God, save me, Father. At the moment, that probably didn't hit me as big as it did years later. He was scared for his life. The car went out of control. Doesn't matter how much swinging you do of that wheel on that slush. Chances are, the people behind you are going to get you. And his first thought was, Father, save me. He says, I cried that out, and within a split second, I was right back in the grooves I should have stayed in, going the same direction. So the next time there's a big event in our life, what will be our very first initial response? Will it be, Father, I need help. Guide me. I'm listening. And I'm taking my hands away from any interruption of your will. We have to keep in mind that he will not, he did not leave or forsake us. He's always waiting and able to guide us through whatever the next situation is. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Be strong, stay straight. And again, as a body, we should be ready and willing to carry the weak and young rather than wanting to be carried ourselves. Verse 14, pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. There he very plainly says, seek harmony and holiness. He doesn't say try to, or for a period of time, step into this. He very clearly says pursue peace with everyone and the holiness. Be diligent, unrelenting. We can't give up. It's not an option. We have to remain steadfast. If we read scripture enough, we keep hearing the word endure. Spiritual maturity requires growth, which takes effort and endurance, a lot of it. My daughter-in-law is trying to teach our granddaughter how to use the toilet. It takes a lot of effort. It's not going to happen overnight. I've heard stories that sometimes that's happened. I don't know how much I want to believe that, but... So what are some of the areas that we need to have focus on or keep as priorities? We should realize also that none of us get it easier than others. So we could look at somebody like Paul and go, well, God blessed him. You know, it was easy for him to mature real fast. Nope. Paul had to go through all the same struggles that we did. The person sitting next to you has to go through all the same struggles. There's no shortcut to spiritual maturity. You or I were not given anything more or less that will get us there quicker than another. The only thing that was going to slow us down is our willingness and effort. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge. So what's the first thing that comes along? It's faith. Now all of us here, we have faith that there is a God, right? We have a desire for him to have his plan in motion, right? That he's promised everlasting life. And we want to participate in that. So we have that faith, but that doesn't make us mature. So how do we get to maturity? Well, here it's starting to be laid out for us. We must put forth effort. Not just some effort, or not just sometimes, but diligent effort all the time. Once we have that faith, we need to add moral excellence. Goodness. And to that, we add knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of God. The knowledge that comes through His Word. The knowledge of God's purpose for me. Verse 6, 2 Peter 1 and verse 6. And then knowledge with self-control. We add self-control. And to self-control with endurance. And endurance with godliness. Self-control is the bridle of our hearts. We keep our heart on track. Not through feelings and emotions or somebody else's opinion, but again, with the knowledge that we read in Scripture. Then with that, we need endurance. Probably most of us has lost a loved one or someone that we care deeply about. Along with that comes grief, right? It's a feeling. It's an emotion. Nothing wrong with that. But we can't allow that to take over our lives. And sadly, losing someone precious to us isn't something that goes away very quickly. It's a long time. It's not just months, it's years that we need to endure through the pain of that. We'll have to persevere through the grief. And what's literally said right above there is we don't give up our faith based upon the feelings or emotions that come along with it, that death. Then we're told to add godliness. That's true worship and fear of God. No matter what the effects of any event that evokes emotions, doesn't matter what the situation is, if it invokes anger, that's not a problem. Problem is, what do we do with the anger? If it leads to us becoming ungodly, that's immaturity. What about dislike? We come across the situation where we just want to dislike them or it. It's a struggle. But it shouldn't allow us to become ungodly. To remain godly would invoke forgiveness, peace, gentleness, kindness. Verse 7, 2 Peter 1, verse 7. And then with godliness, with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. In the course of events, we continue in brotherly acts of kindness. Even during our sorrow, our anger, our dislike, frustrations. We cannot be spiritually mature or well if we are distanced from the body. He says, with mutual affection. Again, there's the congregational, there's that body. Again, our growth in love, gentleness, and forgiveness, it comes from being around redeemed sinners. It's not going to come from being around worldly humans. And lastly, we are told to add love. That's acts of affection towards God and all others. All others, not some, all others. Again, even in the midst of pain, we're to show outward love towards God and all others. Now, the next four verses bring up four dangers in failing to grow or become spiritually mature. In verse 8, he says, "For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without spiritual growth, we will be unproductive or even useless in discipleship." Not just in somebody out there, even within our own families. Verse 9 says, "For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins." Spiritual immaturity will leave you unsure of your own salvation. Verse 10 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never stumble." So hear what he's saying. Without the seven elements that were mentioned above in our lives, we will be unprepared and unprotected from false teachers and doctrines. And verse 11, it says, "For in this way, enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will richly provide who has richly provided you for you." With true spiritual maturity, we will miss out in meeting Christ in the air at his return. If we don't become mature, we're not going to make it in the first resurrection. Our initial responses to a situation shows our spiritual maturity. Our growth towards maturity comes from the elements that we just looked at: goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. If we're not growing in these, then we're unfruitful. We're unproductive. Literally, we're useless in God's plans. And what's he do with a useless vine? He prunes it. He gets rid of the bad. Physical perspective is carnality. It's a carnal Christian who chooses to remain in the flesh, even though they have the knowledge of the need to move with and toward God's Spirit. We need to take on God's spiritual perspective of life, eternal life, rather than a physical perspective, which will only lead to death. Now, as we move forward, we have to keep in mind that no one matures at the same rate as another. We can look at a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 14-year-old, and go, ooh, they're more mature than their age. So when we look around a room like this, it doesn't matter where one person is versus another. Again, we were all created in God's likeness. We're brothers and sisters. So we lift each other up in love no matter what the situation is. It's not just one of us that's going to fall from time to time. It's all of us. That's part of the growing process. We're all going to fall. But hopefully each time we get up, dust off, we get help dust being dusted off, and the next time the same event comes around, our reaction is different. At minimum, it's less. Our reaction is less carnal and more godly. So let's keep in mind that as brothers and sisters, we show love no matter what the situations are. We look around, where do we need to be mentors at? And at times, we look up to each other to see who could mentor me. Because there's someone here that has experienced this situation that I'm looking at and knows how to handle it much better than me, and I need some of their help. And vice versa. That's all I have. I know this is a little bit heavy, but just like he said, we don't want to become dull of hearing. We don't want to become just comfortable. You know, we need some challenges from time to time. So